Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring Daysort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.
Live from the Liquor Barn Studios, it's time for the V Show, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Bobby V.
Not quite. Rinse and repeat. V Show. Pop's still a little under the weather. Hopefully, we'll be back later on this week. So, here's truly Nikki V, the reflection of nepotism and ineptitude and spunk.
Well, tell people I'm here too before everybody tunes out.
I was just about to say yes, but those of you reaching for your dial, lick the Cheeto dust off and stay put for a second. Because we have Steve Rummage, yay!
For 30 minutes.
For 30 minutes. 30 minutes of Rummage, which sounds like
a lot longer than what other people in my life get.
So, things you can do in 30 minutes.
A lot. Yeah, so anyways, it's good to be over here, man. I always like when I can grace the V-Show. So and today I
appreciate
able to.
You gracing the V-Show every
I would
you
more
get.
If you know you wouldn't ask me at 10 o'clock the night before.
You know.
I do have a schedule. You know, I do have a 4-year-old and a wife that works hospital third shift.
Yeah, it was. I would like to mind to help.
Yeah, I don't mind to help.
Yeah, no, it could be. Timing has never been my strong suit.
Okay,
but nonetheless,
enough.
I appreciate you.
Well, it's good to
did
be.
Did you
here.
Watch any of the Monday Night Football game, by the way?
I did not. I did not last night. Last night for me consists of. Oh, man, what did last night? Well, I went out to eat with my two boys.
Nice.
Yeah, we try to do like at least one night a week. I just take both the boys out. We go to, because you know, my oldest lives with his mother too. So, mm-hmm. you know, we, which love her. She's awesome. We all get along great. So it's nothing like that. But it's
that's awesome.
Yeah. My wife and her are great friends. Everybody's happy. But I'll go get them and I like to do just a boys' dinner once a week. You know, we try to do, because he plays a lot of sports. And it's busy, you know. So like to
yeah, right.
Get everybody together. So anyways, I did that. And then I come home and I think I watched wrestling.
Oh, yeah. I completely forgot that it was, you know, Raw. And it was a big, it was a nice pay-per-view this weekend.
Of course.
Survivor Series.
Yeah.
And
well, and I'm always keeping up with, which by the way, Chrissy Banda is going to be joining us on Thursday. And she said she's been getting into wrestling.
That makes me so excited.
She wants to have some conversation.
Because I would say you and I speak it fluently. A handful of guys around here speak it conversationally and a few broken. You know, everyone watched it back in the late 90s on the Monday Night.
That's what everybody would say. They're like, well, I watched it back when it was
right.
The Rock and Austin. You know, I'm like, well, yeah, okay, me too.
I'm liking what they're doing with Austin Theory.
For
the 10% of the listeners, which I do actually think about 10% of the show
WWE
like
is done very well since Triple H has taken over.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very impressed.
And to the AEW side, as we're nerding out.
I do too, but
I want it, man, if they bring back CM Punk, if those rumors of them actually feuding with the Elite would be very tasty. Yeah. Anyway, we're losing listeners. UPS Jobs text line 437-9680 if you want to be part of the show.
What does Rummage do for a living? He's always going to Disney and on trips. Does he farm his own money trees? It's pretty funny. Close. I run drug paraphernalia across the border.
The key is to relax, take a deep breath, and shove. There you go.
Oh, man. Listen, and the thing I love about the V-Show is I get a lot of Kentucky listeners that we don't get.
There it is. I was waiting. Yes, I should have made a bet. James is right behind me. I should have been like,
yes.
One way or another, it's going blue. It's either BBN or it's liberal.
Fun.
I don't know which way, what
it's
the first
fun.
Joke was going to
no,
be.
No, listen. Over here on the V-Show, when I do the V-Show, listen, I this is the one place I get to bury the hatchet with the Kentucky fans and say, well, we're all red.
Politically.
I would make a tremendous Kentucky fan. All jokes aside. I could put Matt Jones out of business. Listen, seriously. No, seriously. Hear me out. If I went Kentucky, okay, you hear my voice.
Right.
I'm obviously a county guy. Right. You know, I got the voice.
Yeah.
I've dipped.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know.
I did too back in the day. What was your brand?
Skull?
See, I was a Grizzly Wintergreen guy.
That's fine.
Yeah
that's fine. Most, you know what's are. But it's like, you know, here's my thing. On top of that, I would come right in. I'm a super Republican guy.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, okay. I would win the Kentucky fan base like that.
That's true.
Boom!
That's true. The one thing holding Matty Bangs back is his political affiliation.
Like, I would be like, it would be like, no, Rummage is who we follow.
You should start rooting for UK just to be a usurper and just, you know, take over the mantle.
I'll never do it, but there's been moments where you're like, maybe, no, you know, but I'm like, I don't know.
There's been times you flirted with it. Well, I mean, that's a good segue. And again, it's Steve Rummage, Nick Valvano, and for Bobby V on the V Show, 437-968 UPS Jobs text line if you want to be part of it. Steve's going to stick around, nice enough to stick around for about another segment or so. And then Scotty D, Scott Davenport.
Yeah.
Speaking of Big Blue Nation, UK taking on Bellarmine tonight. I'm not saying that Scotty's BBN, not at all. But yeah, his Knights are heading down to Rupp, and we'll have coverage beginning 6:45 here. Doug Warmey, Mark Bug on ESPN 680, 105. That's the type of guy Coach Davenport is, continuing his crazy non-conference schedule. We looked it up over on Middays with Marcus Maven. His non-conference strength of schedule is fourth in the country. And he's willing to carve out a couple of minutes on game day.
They're playing everybody, man.
Dude, he is the John L. Sullivan. He just walks into the room and says, put him up, put him up, let's go.
Yeah, they're playing everybody. But to be fair now, we'll say this.
To be fair.
Coach Davenport, where that's a good thing is you have to, at the end of the day, he would hate me for saying this probably, but at the end of the day, the conference tournament's what matters for them.
Right.
You don't get an at-large bid.
Okay? Right.
So, I'm not saying they could. I mean, obviously, I guess they could. I mean, if you win a bunch of games, but you would be better off playing this schedule, because the only way you would get an at-large bid is by beating the teams you're playing this type of schedule, and then people would be like, oh, hey, that might be an at-large team. But you prepare your team.
Right.
I mean, so you go this isn't, even though they lose some games, they beat a Louisville, you know, they play well with a Duke, you know, and stuff. You go, you lose to UCLA, you lose to a couple teams like that. But at the end of the day, Coach Davenport's preparing his squad. You prepare for conference play. You try to get a top seed there. You go win the conference tournament. You go to the NCAA tournament. Well
I was going to say. He doesn't. Yeah. But. Do you think if they win it again this year, they'd finally be like, you know, this is stupid. We're losing on all fronts.
I would hope, but I hope they would have done that already. No,
I mean, so would I, but they're, yeah.
He did still beat Louisville, so I thought, look, I'm like, no, I think it's a good rule.
Well, speaking of Louisville tonight.
Perfectly fine rule.
Perfectly fine rule. Yep, no, it doesn't count. UofL taking on number 22, Maryland. Coverage will begin at 5:30 over on 93.9 mm-hmm. The Mill. With that one, we kind of talked about it, you know, in the bullpen and on the air over on Middays with Marcus Maven. Check it out on the podcast center, ESPNLouisville.com. But as you guys always joke, season begins now. Season starts now. But what are some things that you are looking for that you could, regardless of the result, that you could hang your hat on, both team-wise and individually?
I mean, you can say it's nothing but the final score. Let me say this. I hate saying it's nothing but the final score.
Right.
But for me, Marcus does such a great job at breaking the nuts and bolts of it down. For me, I'm like, what was the final result?
Right.
I'm much more of on that side, which is, I'm not saying it's right. You know what I'm saying? Says like it's more for me though. I look at so much results based. That's why me and Marcus sometimes we can argue, because I'm like, dude, just start paying players. I don't care. Like, I don't care. Just pay the players.
You're very much. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very much in
that. You sometimes
that.
Have the binary system. It's a zero or a one.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
You know, it's black or white. We're either, you know, you win or lose.
So for me, I mean, it's going to be hard for me to walk out of that stadium tonight if it's a 18-20 point game and go,
right.
Well, they did improve here. They did improve here. I'm like, and there may be areas where it's like, well, they did improve there.
Right.
And I'm still going to go, I don't,
still lost, but
I have to be honest. I've watched Maryland a couple times. Don't love them.
Well, we looked at it.
Yeah.
Their non-conference strength of schedule is like 280 or something like
so,
that. It's
so,
really not. They haven't really played anybody.
No.
They beat St. Louis, who's decent, but that's about it. Like all the other ones, I think, were directional schools. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't think I watch this game and say, okay, you get blown out, there's a ton of positives I'm going to walk away with, you know. So, but I'm also getting to the point where there's some things now, and this was always my thing. People would say, you know, I know people would jump on us for saying like, oh, hang on, man, wait till we see, you know, wait till we see. I mean, because, like, I'm sorry, if you were just crapping all over them, I mean, in July and August and September, like, dude, let's see something here.
Right, okay? Give it some time. Right.
Yeah. Okay, now, as the season goes on, I'll get more critical and more critical. Like, after game one and two, I was like, well, you know, I understand different things. Now, I am starting to get now, it's game six, we're going into game seven tonight. I'm starting to get to where I'm starting to nitpick some. Where it's like, I need to see what I feel like is a little more discipline.
Right.
We talked about that on the show. You know, I need to see guys getting pulled a little more. I think you saw a little bit of it. Sidney Curry losing the starting spot.
I don't think
he'll be back in the lineup today.
Nor do I.
So, but then when I hear Coach Payne, for instance, say, I need Sidney in shape. Well, there's a little bit of me there that's like, well, get him in shape. Don't play him again. We ended the show with this over there, so I mean, if you're joining us there.
And also the pineal gland we were talking.
We did get into that for some reason.
Yeah, that was weird. That got weird.
Yeah, that got a little odd, but it's okay. I'm like, you know, hey, tell him he's not playing again until he gets in shape. And if he wants to leave in December, bye.
Right.
Like, you're past the
Them's
point.
Them's the rules.
Yeah, you're past the point now where it's like, well, don't ruin the whole season. Like, I mean, dude, we're all in six. Texter says, seems like Kenny's trying to coach his system. They aren't the type of players that fit his system, the cards he were dealt. I don't disagree with that. I was sitting with a couple of people at when Marcus and I went to the practice, and somebody said, you know, I mean, these guys were recruited. It wasn't an excuse maker either by any stretch of the imagination. They're like, I do remember these guys were recruited to play a pack line defense.
Right, yeah.
It's not what you're playing.
Well, the whole thing's been around.
But there's still some dudes
square
out there.
Hole thing. Yeah, but we talked about where Brandon Huntley Hatfield's, had he not reclassified, where he would have ranked. I mean, he would have been higher than Amani Bates.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it just was
well,
one of those. Well, maybe not Amani Bates. It was Anthony Black.
Yeah. But, yeah. Oh, yeah. He'd been 10 spots higher.
Yeah, right. Because he was like top 15, I think.
Yes.
And, yeah.
Yeah. And Brandon was in the top five, you know? So
right.
He was behind Jalen Duren, Amani Bates, and there was somebody else and him. Like, you know, it's. I mean, he was fourth.
Right.
And Brandon Huntley Hatfield was, so. And Texter says, you know, they've won Maryland's won every game by 16 points.
And they beat Miami. That was the marquee
Miami.
Win. Yeah, that was the marquee win.
Says
not
St.
Louis.
They're going to kill us. Well, I didn't say they weren't going to win. I
said, right.
I can say I think they're going to win. They'll probably win big, but I still don't think they're great. Like, they're, like, great, you know? Like,
right. They're, not, know, in Ar- they're not in Arkansas.
Yeah, like, or, they're know. Good. But, I mean, I don't disagree with that. Probably not. But, yeah, I'm just going into it, and I'm saying, okay, like, I want the whole product. Like, let me see the whole product. Let me see these guys feel like, because there's moments in Hawaii where they looked like they never believed they could win.
Right.
You know?
And we talked about that.
That's how it looked.
Right. The danger of losing so much and having that losing culture, suddenly it becomes habit. And you almost, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy where it doesn't matter. You could go into the half up eight. And you're like, okay, well, we're going to piss this away somehow.
Or you'll play tight against.
Yeah, right.
You'll just play tight. You'll be like, don't lose it. Don't lose it. Don't lose it.
Playing not to lose as opposed to playing to win. And that's always a recipe.
Well, and the problem is that's where the mental toughness comes in of, okay, you come out up six tonight. Say they're up six tonight.
Right.
You can't. Maryland comes out. They go, you know, you're playing the game back and forth. Maryland comes back, takes a 2-point lead with 7 minutes to go. That's where things worry me at times, because it feels like sometimes this team in that scenario would go, man, we had it.
Right. And that's
wait a minute now.
It seems like every time you're waiting.
7 minutes left.
You're waiting for the run.
The football.
You're waiting for that run to come. We talk about segment scoring.
Yes.
For them to win a segment or lose the segment.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals, like, lose the segment by double digits.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go, there it is. There it is. It doesn't matter how they started. Doesn't matter that they were shooting really well and moving the ball with purpose against Cincinnati.
No.
There's that run, and you go, well, we tried.
Yeah, I mean, when they hit that shot at the end of half, it almost felt like
that. Oh, 100%.
It felt like, and fans, some of us fans are guilty on that too, But it almost felt like everybody was like, man, well, we tried.
Yep.
You know,
we gave it the old, yep.
Played pretty well, and we're down 1.5. Oh, that sucks. You know, and here's the problem.
It sure was fun while it lasted.
They come out in the second half and looked like that was the case. Because, like, right from the jump, you're like, that looked terrible.
Right.
I mean, you could tell Cincinnati was going to win that game, like, in the first few possessions of the second half. It's like, oh, man, this could get bad. Like, they look like they just,
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the segment was, but that first segment, I think.
It's bad.
Yeah, I think they beat, I think they probably lost at, what, like, 10-4? 10-2?
Yeah, and the second one was even worse.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it was like, okay. Yeah, so that's what we've got to figure out. And some of that's, I mean, a lot of that's on the coach too. I'm not making excuses for Kenny Payne. Like, I think I'm holding off extremism until I see him build a roster in here. And again, I told Marcus this. I said, can you imagine me walking into a practice and going, "What's up, Coach Payne?" You know, yeah. Hey man, you do know you need better talent next year, right? And that awkward moment where we just stared at each other. He was like, yeah. Like, so I understand. I can't fathom he doesn't understand he needs to up the talent next year. If that includes paying people, that's what that's going to be. Now, here's my thing. If he does not do that, if he does not hit in the transfer portal, and I come back with a team next year that is very under-talented compared to, or not only say under-talented, because I think we have somewhat talent, but, like, you know, if I come back with a team that looks a lot like this year and it's like, well, what's going on again? Then we can start having some conversations.
Yeah.
That's when we're going to start saying, okay, what's going on here? You know, I guess that's where I differ. I'm not there yet. I'm like, I don't know. I'll see.
Well, and you're more dialed into it than anyone on the V show.
But your dad calls the games.
Well, with recruiting, seriously, like you.
I was like, wait, no, Bob. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
you know who your dad is?
You have been to, a lot of practices,
One.
No, I thought you went to more than one. I thought you went to a couple. Thought you went to like two or three.
No, Marcus did. I took.
Oh, okay.
It was not well, nice. But yes, I'm kidding with you.
Right. I know. But I mean, you got some basketball X's and O's chops, but with the recruiting, you got your finger on the pulse of that. Who, not everyone on the V show doesn't always touch on that as much, but who are the cards dialed in on? Like
Well, I mean 23 is already again, some people are going to get mad at me over this one. I don't really even fault him for 23 that bad.
Neither do
Kenny Payne quite honestly. Is a relationship recruiter.
Right.
So, and people say, well, he had all summer. Well, I mean, a lot of these guys committed elsewhere have been being recruited by guys for 3 years, you know.
Right.
So, and again, be mad at me over that if you want. That's fine. So it's not really going to be in that class. I don't think. I think you're going to win. You're going to have to win in the transfer portal, which is going to cost you money. You're going to have to pay kids. It's like this text says, I wouldn't want my kid playing for a 3-win program. Well, you would if they offered you enough money.
Right.
You know, and or offered him enough money. That's the one thing I don't agree with. And I fought that narrative off for a while until Curtis Williams did say, well, I talked to Kenny Payne. We really didn't talk NIL. I'm like, well, that needs to be a conversation. Because you're going to have that in the portal to win some.
Yeah. I mean, it's free agency.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. And I love that.
And you need a serious infusion. Like, you need a couple. You don't have to go get 5 of the top 7 transfers. I mean, I'm cool with it if you want to.
Absolutely.
But you are going to need probably 2.
Yeah.
Of the top 10 transfers, at least.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to need a couple serious impact dudes.
In the short term, and then, then you could do it a more traditional
way. And the rest don't need to be nobodies, you know? I mean, they need to be some decent dudes.
Right. And I always love that notion of, you know, character kids and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But it was something that Phil brought up one time when he was in for Pops, this idea that what's going to be the first thing to give. Yeah. Maybe getting one of those kids that is in it for the NIL, which, or that's his priority.
Yeah.
In Imani Bates, to an extreme example.
Yeah.
I guess. As opposed, and I'm, of course, there's nuance. Like, you don't have to go 0 to Imani Bates, but
sure.
A player of that ilk. Mm-hmm. And or is it going to be, and I'm not taking shots at him, but, you know, a guy like Fabio, mm-hmm. you know, a lower ranked player that is, you know, supposed
I'm okay
to buy
with those
in
guys,
and everything.
But I think you have to mix those guys.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, but I'm saying there hasn't been there hasn't been an Imani yet.
No.
So, and it seems like, you know, those guys are the ones that are a little bit more NIL dominant.
Yes.
As opposed to.
Yeah, because I'm okay with that. I'm okay. I love Curtis Williams and Caleb Glenn. I love
them. Yeah, no, I think
make no mistake about that. But I
think
need,
we're in agreement that they are. We always use food analogies. They are. We just came from Thanksgiving. They are the casseroles, the mm-hmm. very good side dishes.
Sure.
But you need that turkey. You need that ham. You need that in the Italian household, tortellini with meat sauce. You know, you need that real like main course.
But those cost. And, you know, so that's where I'm kind of at with that. I guess that's where I sit. And I hate to be that way, but I mean, that's why this year I'm like, you know, I'm not doing the like, oh, don't give any criticism for this year at all. You know, like, no, I mean, they should be better than this. Like, you know,
no, this should, but to, you know, and it's not, it's one of those things where you can, it's a fair criticism of what it never should have been mm-hmm. in that situation, but they're 6 points away from being. You know,
3-3,
yeah, which is still something that, like, you used a great analogy over on middays.
Yeah.
Again, check it out, ESPNLouisville.com, where you said, like, had they gotten somebody else that, and you brought it up, it was a promo for a while, mm-hmm. the idea that they could have gotten anyone on the list. And you said, hey, the list of candidates wasn't exactly as stellar as you thought.
Yeah.
It was basically Greg Garden, a bunch of guys from all accounts. So, if they had gotten one of those guys, and not taking a shot at him because he's done a great job, but the Murray State head coach, who's I keep saying Preston Spradlin,
McMahon.
But thank you, that's Moorhead. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Had they been 3-3, everyone would have been in an uproar.
Like, I can't believe we hired the Murray State coach, and now here we are 3-3.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you know, so it still would have been.
Yeah. You know. So I just think more of the frustration comes from, and I understand it. Whether you believe it or not, from a fan standpoint, Kenny Payne's number one thing was recruiting.
Right.
And
followed by player development.
Followed by player development, right. which the jury's out on still. So, but I do think once we start seeing some of that, it will ease. And maybe you don't. If you don't, then he probably loses his job. You know, eventually. I'm not saying this year, but like eventually, you know.
But both of those do take some time.
Yeah, I agree.
And I guess the thing is, what's the ever look? The V show always is of the we're the temple of let the cake bake.
Yeah,
and I understand sometimes maybe too much rope is given, but at the same time, I feel like there has to be a consensus compromise on how much time the guy gets to fix everything. Or is it one of those, do you see a doomsday scenario where, I mean, certainly I don't think they're, I think collectively on the midday show, we're all in agreement that he's going to be here for his contract. Mm-hmm. So you might as well get comfortable. But is there any doomsday scenario where you see like, hey, look, we need to reassess?
Yeah. No, I mean it's a big buyout.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like everyone
you're not going to fire him after this year. It's just not going to happen. Look, and I feel you. I've dealt with this to an extent. It's like you're just not moving on. You
know?
like from other sports, but it's like you know, it's just not going to happen. So you might as well let's see if he can do it. You know, and maybe it is something that you're like, oh man, you know, this was good. But I mean,
those two things you said, recruiting and player development, his bread and butter, both take time. I mean, one of them has development in the word.
Yeah.
So at what point do you feel like there's been a big enough sample size? Because I do think that okay, you can be a little critical that they didn't get anybody
if it's this bad.
10 months, but still.
Well, like, that depends, though. If it's this, I mean, if it's 10-win season next year, too. And I'm not saying we'll get to 10 this year, but I'm saying, like, say it is, then yeah, I think that speeds that up. Then you're like, okay, this is bad. This is not good. But, like, I mean, if they win, somehow find a way to win 10-11 this year, and then next year they're a NIT team, borderline tournament team. No, you're still moving. You know, you're still moving forward, I think, at that point. But I just...
Is it a decent enough
Let me say this really quick, too. I know it's 12:28, but let me say this before I get off here. This also is what people have to understand.
Right.
You hear after the game, Seth Greenberg and those guys, they're like, look, Kenny Payne's the guy for the job. You know, it's going to take a while, but he's going to get it right. You know, Jay Billis is in the game. He's like, man, it's going to work. It's going to be, you know, like, hang with Kenny Payne, all this stuff. You hear all that.
Right.
Imagine firing him after this year. Louisville would be torched publicly.
Absolutely.
Like, it would be like, I can't. Now, first off, nobody's coming to take this job at that point.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so that's over. No. I'm just saying, for everybody to scream fire him right now, the other thing would be, now Jay Billis is going to get on there. Seth Greenberg's going to get on there. All these people are going to get on there and go, I cannot believe it. That's a disgrace. They're going to be saying things like that. They're going to be saying, like, it is a disgrace. He got 1 year. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's why I'm like, I don't like using the word stupid, but it's very silly to talk about firing him after this year.
Oh, it's like, purely reactionary, filled with emotion.
Like, I'm saying, just take that out of it. Just what would happen to you. And again, you're not getting anybody at that point.
No.
Nobody's coming in here going, wow, they're going to give me a year to fix that. No, I'm good. So, I don't know.
No, I feel like you said, a lot of the luminaries have been, I don't want to say forgiving, but at the same time, well, yeah, a little bit forgiving.
Well, because they look at it zoomed out, and they go, they're going to do some crap.
Right.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, they've been, it's going to take a year or so.
But
like,
I've never completely bought into the Louisville versus the world until I do think like the national guys, Seth, Jay, you know, they're sympathetic to the situation. So the basketball luminaries are, but the sports writers as a whole, I didn't realize it until I went to, you know, name dropping a little bit, but I just tagged along.
Yeah.
To the NSMA, the Sportscasters Award thing, when Pops won his award. I got down there and I got to like rub elbows with like Rick Riley and Mike Hupica. Oh, totally name dropping. I had no business being there.
It's awesome, dude.
But to hear them, to go out to drinks with like a handful of them and just hear them biddying and bantering around, the vitriol they had for U of L and Rick Pitino, I was like, damn. Like, I didn't realize everyone looked at them like that. And then it's like, okay, well, if all these people kind of share this idea, now I kind of understand why I still don't justify it, but when the NCAA was like repugnant and through all that stuff, that sentiment was echoed by a large number of the media nationally. I didn't know that. So I'm saying, like, there's still people that I don't think have forgiven Louisville for their transgressions.
Yeah, and can you imagine bringing back one of your own and canning him after a year?
Yeah, that's certainly not going to help.
He didn't even get to, are you kidding me? So I don't know. I'm like, sometimes I don't think we think about that, too. It's like, there's more than just, oh, fire him and move on. Like, he deserves a little more than that.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Let's wait and see what happens.
There's definitely some nuance there. All right, well, the Cards take on Maryland tonight, 5:30. Coverage begins on 93.9 The Ville. Steve, I appreciate you hanging out with me a little bit.
It was the worst thing I've ever did. I wish I was already home. But thank you. It was fun.
Well, you know, just drink some something stiff, and maybe it'll wash the memory from your mind.
No, I had fun, man. I had fun. I'll do it again if you'll just ask me ahead of time.
I will try to do that. Yes. Thank you, my friend. On the other side, Scott Davenport. He's going to join us, preview tonight's matchup with the Wildcats. It's the V Show. If you want to be part of the show, UPS Jobs text line 437-9680. More on the other side.
More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here, on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
And welcome back to the V-Show. It's a Tuesday edition. ESPN 680, 105.7. Pop, still a little under the weather. Might get an update from him a little bit later, not really sure. Coach Mark Lieberman joining me in studio now. That's always nice. And we got another coach on the line, Coach. Scott Davenport, head coach of the Bellarmine Knights, joining us now ahead of his matchup. That's the type of guy he is. He joins on game day. Gotta love that. Just playing a little team by the name of UK. Coach Scotty D, how are you this fine Tuesday?
Well, I'm going to continue to say prayers for Coach D.
I appreciate that.
Not Nicky the Boot feet.
No, that's fair. No, yeah, definitely.
Nicky the Boot needs all the prayers he can get. That's well established.
That is.
We'll pray extra for Coach V. I hope he's okay. We're great. Just finished our walkthrough. We will depart here 2:45. We're eating pregame on the way, 7 o'clock tip.
Nice. What's on the menu? What is pregame for the Knights?
Cattlemen's.
Cattlemen's. There we go. Okay. I like it. Well, by the way, everyone, you can hear the Knights call tonight right here on ESPN 680-1057. Mark Bug, the color man, Doug Orme, the play-by-play man. Coverage will begin 6:45 here on ESPN 680-1057 before the 7 p.m. tip-off of the Knights and Kentucky. Coach, you're coming back from a little bit of a road trip on the West Coast. How's the team feeling, and how are you? Are you still jet-lagged?
I feel tremendous, and so does the team. We're all great.
Everybody's great. That's fantastic, Coach.
I will go public and give you our schedule. So, 8:30 a.m. Sunday was breakfast. 9:30 a.m. Was our walkthrough. Noon. Now this is all Pacific time. Noon. Pre-game meal. 4 o'clock tip. 9:30 bus, 11:45 flight to Atlanta, landed at 6:25, departed and arrived back in Louisville on campus at 10 a.m., practiced at 4:30, practiced film yesterday, walked through this morning at 11, practiced film, 2:30, 2:45 bus, pregame, on the road, and play at 7.
Jeez, Coach, that's a heck of an itinerary. Man, we are actually talking about it over on Middays with Marcus Maben. Everyone knows that the Knights are not afraid to play anybody, and I knew that your schedule was certainly nothing to be sneezed at. I had no idea that your non-conference strength of schedule was fourth in the country. I knew it was up there. I didn't know it was that high. But how do you keep the team upbeat with all those challenges?
Well, you recruit the right guys. That's how. You recruit players that embrace a challenge, that want to embrace it with great teammates, not going in alone. And our goal will be the same as every single game. We're going to do what we're taught, play the hardest, and be the most together on the court. And tonight's opponent in Rupp Arena. But the opponent will be no different Sunday at 4 o'clock against Alice Lloyd in Freedom Hall. It will be no difference against Liberty on the 29th of January, or December, excuse me. Now, that's what having a program, which means you have a plan, is about. I've said on this show many times, I'm not being argumentative. People say the word culture. I don't know what that is. I know we have a plan, and that plan is academically, athletically, and socially.
Well, I had Steve on earlier today, and we got to talking about it. It was like the challenges of this early non-conference schedule has to translate into you guys getting mentally prepared for conference play, correct?
Sure. Yeah, I could have brought in Coach Crum, Coach Patino. We could have brought in free agents like Roy Williams and Coach Krzyzewski. We could have brought in Jay Wright. They could not made a practice plan to simulate and better prepare us for conference play than we saw Sunday evening against UCLA. From a physicality, a mental toughness, a aggressive style than we saw and went through for 40 minutes of basketball on Sunday. So that's the goal. And our players embrace that because smart people wear people out, or they wear every situation or opportunity to get help. That's what smart people do. That's a sign of strength, not a sign of weakness.
Coach Scott Davenport joining the V Show. Coach Mark Lieberman joining me in studio as well. Knights taking on the Cats tonight. 6:45 coverage begins here. ESPN 680-1057. Coach, you got a question for Coach?
Coach Davenport, good talking with
Mark,
you.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Late to the party here. And this is probably more of a comment, and you can make your thoughts on what I'm saying. But for you, it's really, as you mentioned, the plan, the culture. And it's already established in your program, and people have to understand the coaches might be tired from all these trips. The coaches are worn down from all the film. The coaches are worn down from a plethora of things. But your players are ready to go. They embrace this. Their adrenaline's pumped up. They get to go play in Rupp, and they played UCLA. You beat Louisville. So you know how it is. The players are just super excited. Coaches might be worn out and need to have an extra cup of coffee, but the players are raring to go.
Well, Mark, I've never had a cup of coffee in my life. Not one sip. I coach 18 to 22-year-olds. I don't need anything.
We learn something every day.
Morning. Yeah, I don't need anything to get me going every day. And I will say this. I feel great. I feel absolutely great. And I think the players do. And we, you know, and this goes far beyond sports, but when everybody wants the same thing, is willing to do whatever it takes to achieve it, that's very, very powerful.
Coach Scott Davenport joining us ahead of the Knights and Wildcats matchup today. Coach, always appreciate you joining us on a game day. I asked you a second ago something that Steve and I discussed before Coach Lieberman joined us in the studio, was just the fact that this playing these games early in the year, these tough opponents, often on the road, all of them on the road, what that can do for you as you enter conference play. And you mentioned some big conference opponents. I was talking with Doug Orme after you guys beat Louisville to start the year. And forgive me, I'm not super familiar with the A-Sun, but I was like, you guys got to be, you know, preseason towards the top of the list. I know you guys lost two of your top scorers, but you got like Justin Betts, you got a lot of veterans coming back. And Doug told me, he's like, yeah, the team's good, but they're like fourth in the preseason. What can you tell us so far of what you've seen?
We're anywhere from fourth or sixth. And, you know, if we'd have been one, it doesn't make a difference because our players realize that's never going to get a defensive stop. It's never going to score a point or get a rebound for you. So, really, it makes no difference. The reason we play the schedule, let's circle back. It's great for this university, but first and foremost, it's great for these players. Do you think any member of this squad's ever going to forget playing at Clemson, Duke, UCLA, and Kentucky, and in the Yum Center? No, they're never going to forget that,
right?
Ever. Now, in this community, which in my opinion is the best basketball community in the United States, it is embraced by this community. And what does that do? That helps Bellarmine University. So we've helped the players. We've helped the university. Now, as a program, does it help recruiting? Yes. Did John Shire, I don't expect this to be, you know, John Shire's comments after our game were incredible. And he didn't have to do that. Mick Cronin's were even better than John Shire's. He didn't have to do that. Brad Burnell at Clemson, they were tremendous. So, I mean, this isn't, you get this type of information to recruits. This isn't just Scott Davenport talking about Bellarmine or Doug Davenport or Bo Braden or Al Davis. These are outside views. I mean, that helps. Mark knows that.
Coach Scott Davenport joining us here on the V Show, ESPN 680 105.7. Nikki V and Coach Mark Lieberman in studio for Bobby V. Coach, you talk about that. You talk about guys in these unforgettable scenarios and what that can mean to these kids. It's all about NIL, transfer portal, and how it's basically semi-pro basketball at this point. But there still is something about coaches' relationships and the experiences you can have at a program. Just what does playing all these marquee teams, these name brand teams, these blue bloods, these Dukes, these UCLAs, these Louisvilles, if you will, what's that do for recruiting for a school that is a mid-major like you guys?
Oh, it's a grand slam. That's why I'm so appreciative to Josh Hurd, to Coach Calipari, to Mick Cronin, to John Jackson, and Nolan Smith was on that Duke staff that allowed us to play these two games. Brad Brunell, Matt Painter a year ago, Mark Few, go on and on and on. I'll be very, very candid with you, Nick. I'm a sports nut. This is all I've ever done. And I'm the next 10 days to 2 weeks in college athletics might be the scariest time ever, with what may happen in college football, with rosters, with coaching staffs, might be as impactful of anything that's ever happened in college sports. I think you're going to see kids You know, if kids are not, Louisville had two running backs in. Two. We've seen the trend of players not playing in bowl games. Why? Why is that trending?
I mean, it's next level. I mean, guys want to protect their bodies for their draft and everything like that.
Okay, you're right. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. A plus. Now, what would be the next step? Well, we're 4-4. We're not going to play for our conference championship game. I want to protect my body. That will be next. Right? Are we already seeing that?
Well, at times. And on one hand, like, I understand kids wanting to, protect their, because as good as it is to have NIL money, like, if you have the ability and you're smart with your money, you can have generational wealth getting to the next level. So on one hand, I understand, I respect the kids' decisions. But on the other, I do think you have an obligation to your team and the university and, the guys that brought you in. And there could certainly be a trickle down effect. It's very much a changing scenario.
Nick, I'll ask you and Mark this: do you think there's college football poaching going on right now?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Okay.
As coaches, poaching at every level, whether it's high school teams, college teams. Look, they have fines now for NFL teams with free agency with. Before the deadline in contacting agents and players and so on. That's rampant.
So I'll ask a yes or no question. Are we teaching these young people good things?
I don't know about good things. I could see pragmatic things because it is a changing landscape and, you got to adapt or die and kids – if there's an opportunity, I feel like kids should have it. But at the same time, it is a very slippery slope.
Wait a minute, Nick. They have an opportunity. They go play pro sports. Right?
That's true. G League. There is the G League and everything.
No. There's the NBA. There's the NFL. There's MLB. There's NHL. They don't have to go to college, right?
That's true. That's fair. That's fair.
Well, then I don't understand your point about the opportunities. There is an opportunity.
It's tough right now because not everybody is. Some of the kids need seasoning. Some of the kids need coaching. They need development, and there needs to be. I feel like it's not all one size fits all. But I get your point, Coach, too, that it's certainly one of those things where they have opportunities. If they want to be a pro so bad, they can be a pro. If that's the only thing they're after,
unfortunately. And, Coach, this. There's so many people around in that circle that they're getting bad information. And whether, they could, if they sit out and get ready for the league, whether it's basketball, football, what have you. But there's so much noise from around these athletes. And you know this from an uncle to a travel coach telling him, no, this is what you need to do. This is where you need to be. And then eventually they come back to you and say, I should have listened. But it's the generation and what they say, the worst thing about youth that's wasted on the young is that they understand, they say, okay, well, this might be greener pastures for me. And they're not always getting the best advice. When they have coaches like you and there's coaches who they trust and understand there's no agenda, then that changes the narrative. But right. in this world right now, there are so many people in their ear about, hey, this is what's best for you. You go to this program, they're going to give you 50 shots. You go to this program, you're going to run the ball 200 times and get on the NFL radar, the NBA radar, and so on and so forth.
Well, this didn't just happen. No different in my demographic. There's always that choice. You listen to who is doing things for you and telling you what you need to hear, or there's those who you're listening to who are telling you what you want to hear. And a lot of times there's a big difference. You agree?
Of course.
Yeah.
But that's where it's hard for a young man to decipher with people who have been around him who have their own agendas and are telling the athletes, this is what's best for you. And some of these young athletes believe them.
No question. And this is why coaching and leadership are probably more important now than in the history of athletics. because these young people are making life-altering decisions. They are life-altering decisions.
You know, and
I've got three freshmen. I've got three freshmen. If, let's say, in 4 years they graduate from Bellarmine and they have a 45-year career in whatever endeavor, whatever, on a court, off a court, they are going to work beyond the year 2067. Let that sink in.
Dang.
Why'd you say that?
It's a long time.
But that's real. That's real.
And it's not as prevalent in programs. And you got to have the right people around you. You're blessed. Bo and Doug, you have a tremendous staff. You have to have everybody in your organization on the same page, have great support staff, have great trainers, have great assistant coaches who are all bought in, so the players understand that there's, you know, that you can get on them, but when you have rules, there's relationships, and they bought into everything that's a part of your team.
Right.
Whether you want to call it the plan, the buzzword that everybody loves, culture, what have you. But if everybody understands that and that player truly understands that you care about them, they're going to buy into what you're telling them and what you believe.
Mark, Nick, I lost my dad when I was 9 years old on Halloween Day of a massive heart attack.
Jeez.
In the last 18 months, I've been to eight funerals or visitations of people that were 2 years older than me. They were seniors when I was a sophomore in high school, or I was a senior and they were a sophomore. I've been to eight of them.
Jeez.
And they were faced with difficult choices, just as I was. How come I'm the luckiest coach who's ever lived? It's because I was a part of something bigger than me, and it brought out the best in me, because I never wanted to let down a teacher, a coach, a principal, an assistant principal, an AD. And that's why they were faced with the same, a lot of them didn't have a father, the same difficult decisions. These kids today are faced with these incredibly difficult situations. I go to these visitations, these funerals, I look at them and I'm like, it rips my heart out how lucky I am and how much I miss them. But this is how we need young people to get involved in anything that's bigger than them, that will bring out the absolute best in them. And that's the challenge in being a young person. These young people make more decisions in a day than I made in a month. My decision, I'm going to ride a bike to Wyandotte Park or I'm going to walk. That was my toughest decision of the day. They're making decisions every single day that have life consequences. I never got in a car with an impaired driver. I never had to make that decision. So it's our obligation. It's our challenge as a society to put all our emphasis in these young people. They are the answer. Scott Davenport is not the answer. These young people are, that are going to work, like I said, to 2065, 2070. Y'all want to hear more of the sermon, or you'll miss out?
Coach, we all know that it doesn't take much. Like, all you got to do is wind Coach Scotty D up, and he'll give you some gold, baby.
Day, man. You get me amped up on game day. That's your fault.
That's what I was just about to say. Talking about good culture and you know, it trickles down. Look, there's a saying in Italian I'm going to butcher because I'm really like Olive Garden Italian. I'm not truly Italian. It's like a pesce puzza da ga. I probably just insulted all of my ancestors, but it means a fish smells from the head down. Whether it's good culture or bad, it always starts at the top. So, yes, it is the youth. It is the kids. But it's the culture that's instilled by one Scotty D and the fine coaching staff he has there. And you're talking about challenges. You guys have another one tonight. It's your third-ranked opponent all on the road. So, and you can hear that right here, 645 ESPN 680 1057. Scotty D, joining us on game day. Coach, I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm not tooting your own horn too much here. I'm just saying there's still a tiny little part of me that gets excited that I can message you on game day about 45 minutes before a scheduled radio hit. And Scotty D is the type of guy that goes, yeah, Nick needs a guest. I got you. Like, absolutely. So, Coach, don't think I'm taking this for granted at all. But I got to ask you about the game tonight. What is that? What does Scotty D want to see from his players out on the floor? What's, you know, without tipping your hand too much, but what's the game plan? What's the goal tonight?
Well, we've got to keep off the offensive boards. We've got to, if you break down all their games, if you break them down top to bottom, the teams and what separates the games is when they're dominant on the offensive glass. And you've got to defend that. This team of theirs is very interesting, because I don't think people realize, and everybody get the name, but they start three seniors, four seniors. If Reeves starts, they're going to start four seniors. You know, Wheeler's a senior, Toppin's a senior, Schwebe's a senior, and Reeves and Wallace. They're going to start four seniors, Wallace, he's a freshman. Toppin, Schwebe, Wheeler, and Reeves. But they have a great mix of youth, you know.
Right.
They bring Frederick off the bench now, who's senior, but they start Wallace, a freshman. You know, they come with Livingston, a freshman. Collins is a sophomore. The other international kids are freshmen. But they're dominant on the offensive glass. And I'll just give you one, how dominant. You know, they average 12 offensive rebounds a game against North Florida. North Florida, they missed 38 shots against North Florida. They got 18 offensive rebounds.
Wow.
That's an absurd number. So you see that challenge. But for us, we have to be the most together, do what we're taught, and play the hardest. That's all we can ask. And our guys will do that. I'm totally convinced they will do that.
Well, you don't have to convince me. We've seen what your team can execute. And play discipline, play hard. And it should be a lot of fun. It tips tonight at 7 p.m. Coverage will begin here on ESPN 680, 105.7. The Knights call Doug Orme, Mark Bug at 6:45 with pregame coverage. Coach, I can't thank you enough for joining on game day.
I know you got top of the hour. I want to say one thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, at under 8 minutes on Sunday, we missed a free throw and two wide open, tremendous look threes. That would have been a 6-point game. So it would easy go in the locker room and say, well, if we had. And you can't do that, because then you say if, or you got to let UCLA say if twice. I mean, to be fair, and then you would have a tie. So we're not going to live in that world of saying if we had. What we're going to do is next time we will. We'll learn from this, and the next time we will. We won't say if. And they responded in a fabulous fashion. And we can't wait to get on this bus at 2:45.
Absolutely, Coach. It's going to be a lot of fun today. 7 p.m. again, that game will tip off. And you can hear it right here on ESPN 680, 105.7. Coach, safe travels. Best of luck tonight. And thanks so much for the time on game day.
Thank you, Nicky. Good luck, Mark.
Thank you.
Coach Davenport, man, the one and only. I love that guy. I could believe that he's never had a cup of coffee, because, I mean, he seriously always has the energy. God bless him. That's awesome. Text coming down to UPS Jobs. Text line, Coach Davenport is grade A+. Met him several times and always enjoyed his conversations. Plus, he knows how to coach. That he does. So that'll be a fun one to watch tonight. Absolutely.
Sure will.
It's always nice having another local on the Division I college basketball scene, for sure. So it'll be a lot of fun. But going from one coach to another, Coach Mark Lieberman joining me in studio here on the V Show Tuesday, ESPN 680, 105.7. Truth be told, I have about 10 minutes left because I got to get to a doctor's appointment. But Nick Curran will be tagging in, but we still have a little bit of time that we get to interact with you guys. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. We'll take a top of the hour break. We'll come back. And yes, we do know that Rich Scangarello is out as offensive coordinator at UK. So they'll be having their fourth offensive coordinator in as many years. We can start the speculation now. The Take with Andy Sweeney and James Strebel, One Round Father, will definitely be getting into that more in depth at 3 p.m. So you want to stay locked to ESPN 680 105.7 for that. But we'll take a short top of the hour break. More of the coach and myself on the other side. You're listening to ESPN 680 105.7.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? Locally owned delivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner. They'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDER NOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.